I'm Robin Miller Brecker.
And I'm Karen Lenzer. Welcome to Seeking Center, the podcast.
Join us each week as we have the conversations and weed through the spiritual and holistic clutter for you. We'll boil it down to what you need to know now.
We're all about total wellness, which to us means building a healthy life on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. We'll talk to the trailblazers who'll introduce you to the practices, products, and experiences that may be just what you need to hear about to transform your life.
If you're listening to this, it's no accident. Think of this as your seeking center and your place to seek your center. And for even more mega inspo, sign up for Seeking Center, the newsletter at seekingcenter.app. Karen and I continue to be in awe of our divine connections. Meet Julie Jancis, also known as the Angel Medium. Julie is a spiritual guide, intuitive Reiki healer, psychic medium, and teacher. She is the host of the Angels and Awakening podcast and the author of the book, Angels and Awakening, A Guide to Raise Your Vibration and Hear Your Angels. She's been talking to angels her whole life, and she's here to teach you how to live from the vibrations of love, joy, peace, bliss, ease, and grace. She calls it living in oneness. She can help you awaken spiritually and remember who you are and what your soul's purpose is. She teaches energy healing techniques and how to communicate with spirit. We're going to discuss how Julie communicates with angels and spirit, her journey, and how she can teach you to heal yourself and talk to spirit as well. Julie is a gift to all of us. This is going to be a riveting, resourceful, and light-filled episode. Let's get talking. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Robin. Hi, Karen. Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Talk about raising your vibration. Just being in your energy right now, I'm grinning from ear to ear. You just irradiate love, happiness, light. So thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. No, it's just so fun because I think that's what we're all trying to do and where we're all trying to get other people to a place of just being yourself. And when you get to be yourself, you get to radiate that energy out to the world. And it's such a fun way to live.
It really is. Let's discuss what it means to be the angel medium.
Yeah. It's so interesting, right? Because you and I, we've been doing this work or following spirituality, not just for the last 5 years or 10 years, but I think we've talked about this before. We've been in this game since like the 1990s, right? And it's really just now starting to shift. People have very much been stay in your own lane. If you're a medium, stay in your own lane. If you're an energy healer, stay in your own lane. If you're a teacher, whatever it might be, it's very much do one thing, do it well. And that's not divine. That is a really man-made message. And so what the divine is trying to bring through is that we are a basket and multitude of so many different elements. And we need to really express wholly, fully the totality of all of who we are. And that means mixing a lot of different things together. If you're a counselor and a medium, there's a way to do that legally and to figure out the way to do that in your state. If you have the ability to work with angels and loved ones on the other side, that's why I call myself the angel medium, is because that's what I do. When I get into your energy field, everybody on your spirit team is there, angels, guides, loved one, God energy, and they have so much for you to know. And they want to direct you to this beautiful future that's in front of you. But there's just so much hope and there's so much within you that you want to be, do, see, hear. And they want that all for you.
I love that. When you talk about angels and you're channeling and you're working with people, are you literally seeing them? Are you hearing them? Are you energetically feeling them? What is that experience like?
So I also teach this too in my Angel Reiki school, and people experience angels in different ways. You can see them with your mind's eye, but a lot of people really feel the presence of angels. Feels very different when you're communicating with the other side than when you're tuning into loved ones over there. When I'm tuning into a loved one, you can feel their humanness. You can feel that they lived an earthly life. Sometimes you can even smell like the soil of the earth. It's very grounded. It's very rooted. But when you're tuning into an angel's energy, it's much different. It's that highest vibration that is. It's that oneness energy when you're connecting to God, universe, source. And I actually have a story about the very first time that I felt it. You want me to share it?
Tell us, please.
Okay. There's a couple different stories that tie in. When I was little, do you ever have those moments in life where it hits you? It's just, it could be something so small, but it's so profound and such a big magnitude. When I was probably 10, 11, 12-ish, I was in the kitchen with my dad at night and he had a hard time. So he was making his Metamucil drink at night, that orange drink. And I'm talking to him about something or other. And he goes, "Julie, who you are now is who you're going to be when you're 30 and when you're 50 and when you're 60. You just have to recognize that you're always going to be you." And he said, "Things are going to come up in life where you don't know which way to go or what to do or what the answer is." He said, "Those are the moments where you have to go in and you have to listen to your heart." And he said, "If you just listen to your heart, no matter what, that is what's going to follow you and you'll never have any regrets." I can't tell you another conversation that I had with my dad that was as profound and that I remember as vividly and as clear. So fast forward to, I was just out of college, had always followed that voice, right? That was a poignant moment where I was like, okay, there's something within me. It's talking to me. And I always tuned in to it. So I lived by it. And when I was graduating college, I got a job, really fun. I got to travel. I was out in Seattle and really wanted to get there a day or two early to spend the day in the city. So I fly in, get to the hotel, and I hear very clearly, "Go upstairs, take a nap, and then you'll know what to do." So I go up, I take a nap, and I get up and I get ready. And I just feel like going to the market that's there that you see in all the pictures. So I begin walking, and this woman right next to me, we're walking step in step with one another for 5 or 6 blocks, which just doesn't happen. You know what I mean? So she turns to me and she goes, "You're not from here, are you?" And I go, "No." She goes, "You're going to the marketplace because you want to see it." She goes, "I'm going there too. It's my day off. Do you want me to show you around?" So I'm like, "Yes, this is awesome. I have a local who's going to show me." So I spend the entire day with this woman and she is just the nicest person on earth. We end up going to a Starbucks. It was founded there and it's cold in Seattle at the time that I was there. So we go in, we're deep in conversation and all of a sudden, literally everything around me is smoky, foggy, right? Just around. And she's speaking in a language. And the first thing that registers within my head is this isn't English. And I'm listening even more. And the language that is coming, like she's speaking in tongues. I'm like, that's not even a language I have ever heard. So these two thoughts register within my head. And then all of a sudden, I start hearing this message. It was at one of the most lonely points in my entire life where I had graduated from college. My mom had moved down to Florida. My sister had moved down there. And I knew because I was listening to my heart, you have to stay in Illinois. You have to stay in Illinois. So I just hear this voice as she's speaking in tongues. And it's like everything else around me fades away. And this voice just keeps saying, "You're so loved. Everything's going to be okay. You're so loved. You're taken care of. Everything's going to be okay." And it didn't tell me how it was going to be okay. But the peace that I felt then was such just a divine experience. And that's what it is when you connect in with the angels. It's such a high vibrational energy. And it's through the vibration itself. You don't have to have anybody speaking in tongues to you. It's through the vibration that they bring messages and emotions of peace, of ease, and you can feel it very palpably. You can learn how to tune into it and people can learn how to understand those messages.
Wait a second. What happened?
Was that an angel talking to you? Like,
what did you do when things came back into focus, or did you start almost telepathically talking to her? What happened in that moment?
No, she was speaking in the language that I had never heard of. And I just knew the message. It was like it translated into English and it wasn't coming through her, but then I heard it within my own internal dialogue.
Yeah.
Yes. But then she came back around and I was like, what just happened? What the F was that? She goes, was I speaking in tongues again? And I'm like, wait, again? Like this happened?
Oh, she did. She said that.
Yes. So she was a businesswoman who had to travel a lot herself. And she said this would happen all the time, like in airports and different places. What was just fascinating was that it wasn't a language that I had ever heard of before, but through it dimmed on her speaking and I could hear the message. I know it sounds wacky, but
it doesn't totally sound wacky to Karen and I, but it may to other people listening. I actually get it. I think in my mind, I'm trying to think, was she speaking light language? And for you, it was that moment. And is she a messenger in many ways?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. She wasn't conscious. She was no longer there anymore, but she was just talking. And it was very peaceful. It wasn't weird. It wasn't really woo. It was a very serene, surreal experience. But you could feel the presence of just angels completely around. And
so was that the beginning for you of being aware and you tuning into more of angel messages in your own life?
Okay. So I'm really into astrology too. I don't understand it all, but that which I read about me being a Capricorn is totally spot on. I am the most stubborn person you'll ever meet. And so I really wanted to write a book. I was a writer back then, really into journalism. I was like, okay, God, give me the book you want me to write and I'll go write it. It wasn't coming. And I kept hearing, when you're 33, you'll know what it is that you need to write about. But I was so mad because I just kept hearing, go to this class or listen to this teacher or read this book. And I was like, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I've been doing that for so long. I just want to write the book. Because I didn't listen to those nuggets of information, I didn't get the next piece. But when I was 33, my dad passed. And that's when everything came flooding in.
So talk about that then. So what was the transition? Were you spiritual at that point in time? Were you trying to communicate with your own angels and guides at that point in your life?
No. You know what's fascinating is I'd always been very highly spiritual. I was one of those kids where my grandma would tell other people stories like, oh my God, can you believe Julie said this when she was two? I remember being really young and wanting to work for God, but feeling, because I was raised in a very Catholic household, that meant being a nun. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I want to be the priest. I don't want to be a nun. I want to have a family. And so I threw the baby out with the bathwater. And when my dad passed away, he came through in a way that was just undeniable. I would be brushing my daughter's hair, and I'm very clairtangent. So this is how it started to come through, because I was touching her head and her hair every morning before school. I would hear, she needs a hairbrush like I used. She needs a hairbrush like I used. She needs a hairbrush like I used. And it started on the day that he had passed, but we were estranged at the time. And so it took family members a month to track me down. And immediately when we found out, I had this vision through my mind's eye of him combing my hair with a hairbrush I hadn't thought about in over 20 years. But he's right. My kiddo has his hair and she needed a hairbrush like he used. So to answer your question, I wasn't pursuing this. I was actually pursuing a career in corporate America, which was draining the life out of me, but just kept going for going's sake. And this really brought me around to my soul self and doing what I was really passionate about.
So what did you do with that moment and that understanding and tying together the fact that you'd been hearing, because you had always said you paid attention to that voice, right? But then knowing in a way that wasn't your voice, that was actually coming. How did you make the connection? And then what did you do with it?
So I was really scared at first. And being raised in such a religious household, this isn't something that you touch. Everybody around me are people who are like, this is of the devil. And I began studying with a teacher, studied with her for about 6 months. And it got a little too woo for me. And I began to pray, God, universe source, Jesus, if this isn't of you, I don't want it. Just take it away. And I heard, pray this for 6 months. And at the end of 6 months, you'll have the answer. Every single time that I prayed it every day, I heard, you've always asked to be a tool that we can work through you. This is how we need to work through you. And I heard that every single day for 6 months. So I go, okay, put the teacher in front of me, and ended up going to this spiritual conference where I met another person. They're like, you need to be trained in something. So I got trained in an energy healing modality called Chios, very much like Reiki. And when I would work on a client and touch the chakra points, laying hands, their spirit team was right there. And they'd be there with information. I had no clue who these people were. And so bringing through these messages and seeing grown men on the table in tears, and was just such a powerful experience. And so that's how I got to learn to cultivate those gifts in a safe space.
And then how did that then lead you to angels?
Yeah. So every single time when I was working on a client, you have a spirit team. Everyone has a spirit team. God stacked the deck in all of our favors. So you have angels, guides, loved ones, all on your team, and they're all right there. It was easier for me to say, I'm an angel. Angel medium or the angel medium, bracing people, especially in the very religious town that I live in, that it's more angelic work and not of the devil.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Even though loved ones come in and every
session. That is very helpful. Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a difference that you would describe between angels and spirit guides?
I do believe that there are guides that have more so lived lifetimes here on Earth. I know that they talk about some angels having lived lives, but I don't see that. And so it's a difference of how the vibrational frequency comes in, where those angels are of the highest vibration that is. And the guides, you can feel not ego in a bad way, but personality to them, their desires, their wants, their lessons. You can feel that all more so in guides, whereas angels don't have those lessons to learn.
How do you differentiate, or do you differentiate between archangels and other angels?
There are definitely like many different realms of angels. When you're working with archangels, you can think of them all as master healers in a themed way, whereas Archangel Gabriel is empowering so many people to step up into their power and do what they feel called to do here in this lifetime. Archangel Michael really is working with your fear, right? Okay, so-and-so isn't doing what calls to their heart because they have fear of X, Y, and Z. So Michael's working with that fear. The archangels are very different from, let's say, the cherubs. The cherubs are really space holders. And you can also feel this with certain people that you work with in a session. People will come in and you'll say, okay, this person's really a doer. They're here to get down to brass tacks. They're here to go do as much as they can. Whereas some people don't have that energy. They're very much vibration holders, frequency holders. The cherubs are those frequency holders. So they hold the door open within your energy field and your aura for you to always be reconnected to God, universe, source, where you can never be in any single split second in your life where you can't reconnect to God, universe, source. It isn't possible because the cherubs hold that space 100% of the time for you versus the seraphim. So when I tune into the seraphim, they are a choir of angels who actually show me a different place on the other side. I don't get access to everything. I just get access to what they show me. And the seraphim angels are beings who interpret beauty differently than we do. They see the whole as beautiful. They see everything in just this beautiful light. And they're really working with all of us to live our most true, authentic version of ourselves. Because you know this, when you follow what society wants for you, you participate in creating this life, but you get to a point where you think, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. This isn't what I want. And if you just keep following your heart, heart, even though it's hard, even though you have no idea how God, universe, source is going to work miracles and blessings and fulfill those dreams, somehow it comes to fruition. And the next book that I'm writing about is about intuition and fulfillment. I really believe that fulfillment is the emotion that we're all looking for when we talk about happiness or joy. Fulfillment is so far beyond contentment. It's being whole, feeling actually full of your soul self, of your human self, seeing the beauty in all of it and in all of who you are. And so that's what the seraphim really helped to awaken you to.
I'd love to know if we're all assigned that guardian angel that we've all heard we have. Is that guardian angel with us for our whole lifetime, or are there different ones that come like the seraphim or the cherubs to help us on our path?
So I don't see it like other people do. I don't think that you just have 2, 3, 4 angels and they're like round the clock working on you, making sure that you're on track. I believe that we have millions, if not billions or trillions of angels, and that kind of how you have so many, what is it, trillions of cells within your physical body. I don't know how this works. I had a baby once. I don't know exactly how that happened within me. It just happened. There's so many molecules and pieces of energy that surround us within our energy field every day. It's all part of the divine angelic realm supporting us while being here, because it's hard to be. I don't really like it when people out there say, hey, if you're not calling upon your angels, then they're not able to do all the work that they need. That's complete BS, right? They're with you always, whether you're tuned into them or not. They're not pushing you. That would be against your free will. They're just there. And yes, when you call upon them, your consciousness is more focused on engaging their help and support. So you might feel it more palpably, but they're always there.
Are there other principles in general, whether it's overall from all angels or certain groups, that they want us to know?
What they've been saying lately is that all healers, no matter whether it's chiropractors or doctors or energy healers or mediums or somatic therapists, whatever it might be, all healers are really looking to do the exact same thing, because there is a process to this. Now, everybody has their own unique personality, their own past experiences, their own way of expressing and teaching. So that's going to be different. But what the angels, they're trying to wake humanity up to is that it's all the same process. And the process looks like this. If you can get into oneness, which is the highest vibration that is, the same vibration as your soul, you are turning the radio dial to the station where you can hear your spirit team. And that comes through not sounding like another beaming voice from the sky. It sounds like your own internal dialogue. So then if you can stay in oneness more, make it a daily habit, because if you stop, you disconnect. If you can do that, you can start to hear your intuition, which is really all of them talking through to you and your higher self guiding you too. And if you can hear that, then you can start to follow that and to take action on that. And once you're taking action on those callings of your heart, that intuition, now you're starting to live in the sweet spot of life, which is, I mean, you both do this where don't you feel so bad? I have girlfriends who call me every single week and they're like, I hate my job. I just want to do something different. And I've gotten the same phone call for 3 years and I send them all so much love. Go in your, yes. Go do what you want to do. You're not really living. And that's really the message that the angels are trying to bring through all healers right now is you are not living. Listen, you both are wordsmiths too. So you know this. At a certain point, words lose the energy and their power because we're using them too much. Or people are like, yeah, I get what you're saying. And they don't really get it at all. People, when you say live the most authentic version of yourself, they smile and they nod and they have no idea what you mean. Because when you're actually living what you know to be true within you. I have to go take this class. I have to go see this speaker. I have to listen to this podcast. I have to go read this book. You take the next step. When you're constantly following your heart, you live in this energy of just getting to be more you than you've ever been before. And you feel whole and you feel full. And there's nothing else like it. Nothing.
Oh, I love that so much. And I also think for people listening who may not trust their own intuition, this idea that they have this angel team really behind them that are participating in their life from the beginning, middle to the end, that they can call upon them as the voice of their intuition. There's almost a safety and a security and a wisdom that's there that almost, at least for someone who might be fearful, to be braver, to step into that, whatever they're, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah. Cause it doesn't happen all at once. And I think that we want to just really go very fast in our lives and just evolve very fast. When we're asking for things to come quickly, that's how the other side interprets it. Like we want to bypass all of the way that we come into that through the journey. And so a couple of things, God, universe, source has really been bringing in this lesson for me, but I think it applies to all. Fall in love with the journey. Fall in love with the messy parts of yourself. Fall in love and see beauty as the seraphim do. It's all of it. All of you is beautiful. Whether you believe it or not, all of you is perfect. All of you is fully whole. And so that's part of it.
Just to add, the people who are listening, who are like, that sounds great. I can't do that because I have to get this paycheck and I can't just quit. And then there's the fear in general. There is that not trusting of themselves or of the universe or God source, any of that. Yeah. So what would you say to them, to those people that are saying to themselves, that does sound ideal. I don't know that I can't just follow my heart or follow that inner knowing of, I would really love to take that class. Mm-hmm. How do you start to make the time or start to almost, it's listening to yourselves, but then almost proving to yourself that this is the right path?
That's what I'm writing my complete second book about.
Well, there you go. Like,
how do you know when your intuition is right on track? I think that's the question that everybody has. So I want to really dive into that in a 260-page book, but there's a couple of easy places to start for that. We get socialized more than anything out of feeling and connecting to our own energy, our own wants, our own needs, our own desires. And as soon as we're able to connect back into that, we're able to feel. And really, what it is that we want doesn't go away. It doesn't get diminished over time. As I've been writing this book, I've felt called to go back to books I've had in the past. And I've had this book maybe for over 30 years, but I remember reading it by the pool in college. And it's Thomas More's Care of the Soul. And I saw in the back, now this was before blogs. This was before or podcast or YouTube. College was like the year 2000. And it says over here, I could be America's journalist of the soul and start my own magazine. And that's what I'm doing today by interviewing hundreds of experts on the podcast. It doesn't change. Maybe how it shifts because it wasn't a magazine, it was a podcast, but I couldn't have known that back then. So the desires of your heart, they truly don't shift when they're from your soul center. And if you really tune in, you can trust it with time. I actually love this, and I forget who to give credit to and who I heard it from, but they're spot on with it. If you flip a coin and you say, okay, if it's tails, I choose this. And if it's heads, I choose this. If you flip it and you immediately feel like, oh, I wish it was the other one. It's not a sign to stick with what you don't want. It is a sign that now you know what it is that you really want. So go with it, what you really want. The other thing is we make decisions dozens of times, if not hundreds of times, every single day. So if you're sitting at Jewel or Aldi or wherever you are, and there's blueberries or raspberries or strawberries in front of you, which one resonates? If you're thinking about going out for dinner, whether it's Chipotle or another place that you love, what is it that really calls to you? Start to really tune into your own needs, wants, and desires on the little things, because as you do, totally adds up to the bigger things.
That's great.
I love that. So in that way, is that how you tune into your angels as well? In that inner listening, in those decisions that we hear and can make that assessment, that's our angels talking to us?
I think what we need to realize is that what God, universe, source, what our angels, what our loved ones on the other side, what our higher self wants for us is felt through our heart. So when we say, listen to your heart, what's calling to your heart, what's your heart's desire, it's all the same. So when you really start listening to and following your own joy, you're not only following what's working best for you, but what the other side wants for you too.
Yeah. And that's that oneness, right?
Yeah. It's the vibration.
And then because we're talking about what would lead to fulfillment in many ways, what do you believe is our divine life plan? Do you believe that we have this plan before we come into our humanness? So then really our goal in this lifetime is to then fulfill that. How do you look at that?
All right. You ready to go into more of the woo?
Yeah. We're going on the journey.
Okay. There's multiple different perspectives to different things. And so my perspective on this has shifted, because what happened is if you're of the perspective from yourself right here, right now, I don't think that we just come here to earth for no reason. I do believe that why we're here are the three E's. You're here to exist, you're here to experience, and you're here to evolve. And you can't evolve without some way moving forward. That could be anything in life. It could be gardening helps you evolve. It could be go hug a tree or go for a walk. Or it doesn't have to be big. We're just moving forward. I'm starting to struggle more as a spiritual teacher with purpose, because so many people are waiting for the clouds to part in the sky, for them to get every single sign that they need in order for them to feel 100% and actually take action. We don't get 100%. That would bypass our free will. You feel 98% confident, you feel 99% confident, but I believe that what really calls to you, Robin, you felt this, and Karen too, but it pushed you into being a spiritual journalist yourself in many different ways. You felt called. Other people look at music and they're just enthralled by it. And other people want to be doing things with movies or books or whatever it might be. That's you wanting to experience that. And there's that line in Eat, Pray, Love, where she talks about how God dwells within you as you. God doesn't want to experience this big play of you trying to make life out to be what you think God needs it to be. God wants to experience through you. And the more and more that I have sat with that over the years, the only way that God can experience through us is for us to deeply experience ourselves. So whatever calls to you is what God wants to experience through you. And yes, we have purpose in that we're here to experience and evolve and just be, but we choose. And so many people stop short of making the choice and they keep waiting. And it breaks my heart into pieces, because I've worked with 75-year-old women who say to me, Julie, I've been hearing this for 30 years. It's the same thing. This thing that I just showed you in the book, that was 23 years ago. And it's the same thing that calls to me today. So I think that is our purpose, is to decide what our purpose is and to take action and to move forward. However, there's a different perspective where your higher self in heaven, where there is no time, has experienced it all. So are we on some level tuning into the vibration of our higher self, who's already lived it, and we're simply moving through the steps here? I don't know. I think that energy ties in somehow, but I'm still playing with it.
You know, it makes me feel like you nailed it. It's that whole idea of taking action, of being in the experience. And no matter what the decision is, it doesn't mean that have to ultimately, to your point, get to our purpose. It's not a goal that we're trying to reach or a finish line that we're trying to cross. It's just this whole idea of having the bravery to listen to our hearts, as you say, yeah, and take action in some way, because that is how we evolve and we learn and we experience.
And continue to move forward. To your point, the evolving, it is.
Wow. I haven't ever looked at it quite that way. I love that, Julie.
Yay. And there gets to be a point where I heard a quote recently, it might have been in Anne Lamott's book, Bird by Bird, but she says, you don't know what you're doing until you actually do it. And I thought that is so true, because you don't get the confidence and then go do the thing. You go do the thing, and confidence comes as a result because you see how it worked and you see the mechanics of it. And so when you do the thing the next time, you have more confidence, but you don't know how it's going to turn out. And it just keeps building. Confidence snowballs. And that's where I wish everybody knew that if they were just taking those steps forward, even if it's, listen, I didn't tell my partner or my mom that I was talking to angels or loved ones on the other side. It was actually my husband about 2 years into this work, and my session list was booked really quickly. And he came home from work and he's, listen, people at work are saying that you talk to angels and this is what you do. I'm like, yeah. So I guess we should sit down and have a conversation. I didn't know how to tell him that. So I'm glad you heard it from somebody else. Now we're on the same page. Surprise. But you can take baby steps forward. You can inch your way forward. Life becomes really magical. And everything that they say is true. Because when you align your beliefs and your passions and you believe in yourself and you keep taking one action step after another, you don't sit there and you don't hem and haw anymore. I hemmed and hawed on getting started with something for 13 years before I actually did something with it. And then the next time was maybe 6 months. And then the next time was like 3 months that I wavered. Now I hear something, I'm in the shower, and I go announce it to my community because I'm like, this is what we're doing. This is what spirit wants. You just start running.
Yeah. Right. To your point, that confidence has snowballed and there you are and you trust it and you can go.
Yeah.
Which actually leads to talking about this method that you've created within energy healing called Angel Reiki, which I had not heard of. So can you tell us a bit about energy healing and this Angel Reiki method?
So like I was saying before, everything used to be stay in your own lane. If you wanted to go get mediumship training, you had to go over here. And if you wanted to get training to be an angel messenger, go over here. And energy healing was separate. The angels said, smush it all together and create a space for people to create or discover, bring about all of their spiritual gifts at once. So we've had, I think, over 430 people come through the Angel Reiki school, and it infuses all of those three things together. You learn all of those, but then people have their own gifts and abilities. Some people are pet psychics and that comes out. Some people are medical mediums. Some people really are energy healers, vibration holders. Some people are these fantastic mediums. Some people see auric fields and colors. There's just so many different gifts and they all start to emerge in a safe space.
Oh, I love that. Because we talk so often that it's the hands-on healing that seems to be the real conduit for people to start with, because it really teaches them how to tune in to the messages, right? Is that how you started as well, Julie?
That's actually why I started the Angel Reiki School, because a lot of people are clairtangent where they start laying hands. But when I was in my training program, my teacher wasn't a medium and she wasn't a messenger. And so I had to wave her over the first time. I'm like, I'm getting stuff over here. What do you want me to do? I'm supposed to be silent through this energy healing session. She goes, just say what's coming to you, which she wasn't supposed to do. Because in energy healing, it's supposed to be quiet modality. There are so many people who come to me and say, Julie, I wish I would have just started with the Angel Reiki school because I needed a place. This is all starting to come through. I knew it was, and I needed to learn it all at once. I'm really really proud of the program that we've created in that safe space for folks.
If people are interested just listening to you, is that something they can do on Zoom or do they have to come to you?
No, that's all done. We work with people all over the world. So they can just come in through theangelmedium.com and it's called the Angel Reiki School.
Amazing we can do that virtually now.
Yeah, Karen and I did not know about your Angel Reiki School and we've taken several different levels of Reiki and learned virtually. And we've talked about actually on our podcast, you can practice Reiki or any other forms of energy healing virtually. You don't actually have to be in person, which we just love to reiterate. It's just incredible.
It really is because it clears out all of the vibrations that we've picked up along the way and that we're carrying with us to really bring us back to our soul self. And it's the starting point from which we really can awaken more deeply and connect with our own intuition.
Yeah. And I'm so grateful to be having this conversation today for people who haven't been taught to think about, number one, that they're energetic beings. So let's start there. Hopefully people listening to this podcast are aware, but that we're picking up different energies every single day. So it's really important to clear that energy. And whether you do that yourself or you go to a practitioner. And what's beautiful about what you've created is you are helping to create other guides for people that not only can clear energy, but that can also bring messages to help people move forward.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And it's so clear that none of us as a single individual can reach all of the people that we need to reach in this lifetime. And so we need a network. And we've created a team of healers that help people through the website. People have graduated through my Angel Reiki School that you can go see for a session. We're also just initiating too, the place to come together in friendship with local chapters. And so we're starting it now where you can go onto Facebook and search spiritual women and then your city and a group will pop up. I think we've got 200 chapters so far. And if people want to start one, they can start their own. But there's no hidden agenda to this whatsoever. It's just get volunteers who want to start a group in their area to bring people together locally because we also need places where you can just talk to another human being without them thinking that you're crazy and have these conversations.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. And it can be intimidating. I just moved down to Texas recently. It can be intimidating to know who to reach out to. Yeah. So I love that idea of having a place. Can you give us an example of one of your favorite angel stories?
Oh, favorite angel stories? Let's see. There's so many to choose from. The other day was working on the book and really felt the power and the presence of Wayne Dyer with me and Louise Hay and have just been feeling them constantly. And it still happens where your egoic mind kind of gets in the way and you're like, Julie, Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay have a lot better things to do on the other side than spend time with your energy or helping you write this book. But I felt it and I heard, just put it on social media, just put it up there. So I put up a video about it. And again, just constantly following that soft whisper within you, heard after that, okay, now turn on Audible. They took me back to a book that I hadn't listened to in over 2 years, but I stopped in the middle and they said, don't go back to the beginning, just start listening from where you're at. So I start listening and the author says, and my friend Wayne Dyer used to say that something to the effect of when you're living inspired, you're living in spirit. And that's totally a theme within this book. So it's actually 1/4 of the book. And so to hear that, to have that sequence of events show up was just so profound and so impactful. It was just heavenly.
I love that. And for those who are listening who may not know, we talk about Wayne Dyer and we say all the time.
Yes, we do. We all have that in common.
They're profound authors and spiritual leaders in their own right and have influenced so many and continue to do so. Yeah.
They're asking me to bring through one message to everybody listening. And this might be for you too. I think there's a lot of us who feel guilty because we are called to do this work. And yet there's this huge well wealth of information and divine wisdom from the past. And we think, who am I to tap into that or to write a book because it's been done before? But really, their message to everybody is that's been the story since the beginning of time, is that we are all just building upon the wealth of information and the work that other people have done before us. But if nobody does that today, it's not kept current and it's not woven into the fabric of modern day life, because life is so different now. It's different from it was even 5 years ago. And so we have to keep creating new things. And sometimes I think of myself more so as the messenger and the curator of this past wisdom. And I used to feel really guilty about that, but I don't anymore. And so if that's what you need, is to give yourselves permission to be the curator, and the messages are going to come in as they're needed.
It's like music, isn't it? It's like every generation has a different vibrational frequency around music. And so it's the same notes. It's just reinvented in a new way so that generation coming in can hear it and be energized by it. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, that's a really good analogy. And that's such a beautiful message. And it's so true. And what Karen and I often hear, if we are quoting people from the past, but putting it in terms of today from our listeners and other friends and so forth, they're grateful because they wouldn't have even thought to read those books or to listen to certain podcasts and so forth. And so if you take it on, it is one of our purposes and our responsibility to carry it on.
100%. I think you're absolutely spot on, Robin. It's the job of every podcaster, every author, every blogger, every social influencer right now to be consolidating information, because the everyday person who does have a job and three kids does not have the time to be reading 50 different books in order. It is our job to consolidate all of this and curate it for other people.
You know, I said this actually when I had my daughter, which was, just tell me what I need to know. Tell me what I need to do. And so I think that is, as we've evolved, the three of us, into what we're doing now, that's our job, right? People want to know, tell me what I need to know when it comes to living a life that is going to lead me to fulfillment, that is going to make me feel whole. And that's our job.
And Julie, what you're doing is you're teaching people to do it for themselves. So you're teaching them, tune into those messages so that I can do it myself and I can learn how to guide my own journey.
Oh yeah. You know what? That's exactly what was coming in as Robin was talking. There are people listening who right now are thinking, I want that to be my job. I want to be just listening to books all day and curating and talking and speaking and writing. Then do it. That is for you. That is meant for you. There is space for all. When we grew up, there were a few people on a very large stage. Today, the stage has gotten even larger and there are a lot of people on that stage, but man, there is room for you. Get on up here. We invite you. We welcome you.
Yes. And that you become part of that larger community. Like, you're a community and what you've created is an even larger community. I love what you said about creating those local chapters too, because there is something to be said for people who may want to meet up in person and know that there's people really very close by. And then there's also the beauty in the fact that we can all be on video right now talking. There's room for both.
Oh my goodness. And I think they're going to start to fuse together. That's what I see coming together over the next 10 years, is you guys have this beautiful vision of what you want to create and where you want to go with things. And it's not a separation. It's oneness. Like, we are all coming together as one and fusing these different things. And it could be that they're telling me to create these communities because they're going to help you. Like, we can promote it out to everybody when you guys launch the next pieces of your project. I think there are just so many ways that we are all going to fuse together.
And like you said, we need it all. We need the personal community of being able to arm in arm, feel each other, but also the accessibility of what we can do around the world through technology, which is great. I would love for you to just talk a little bit about your sessions and what is a session with you typically like?
A session with me is either 30 minutes or 60 minutes, and it's always on Zoom. We come in and I kind of walk you through a very short 1 to 3 minute meditation. When you're doing that and I'm speaking, I'm also tuning in to your spirit team, who's on your spirit team, what loving, positive messages they have for you, what direction, what guidance. I'm writing down all of that. And then we spend the entire rest of the session going through each piece one by one.
So do I come with an intention of what messages I want to hear, or do I just come open to receive whatever might come through you?
No, I think it's best to come in just open to receiving what it is that spirit has for you and allowing them to lead you, because you get so much evidence in people probably cry about 95% of the time, where they just say, Julie, I've been thinking that, or I've been wanting to do that. And it's just so validating to hear what you've known all along, validated by spirit.
And I feel like we've talked a little bit throughout this conversation about certain things that people can do for themselves right now. Is there anything that you can add to that in terms of how somebody can really be using oneness in their daily life, or something that would help them raise their vibration on a daily basis?
That's why I started the first book that I wrote, Angels and Awakening. It walks you through a 4-week guide on how to really raise your vibration to the highest level. And then so many people would come to me and say, Julie, I want to know exactly who's on my spirit team. Awesome. Let's do that. Because when you're in your everyday life, to your point, Robin, you just want to be working on this, and it's so yummy and so fun to work on. 3/4 of the book walks you through all of the different angels who could be on your spirit team. And there's places to write and fill in. So definitely don't go with the Audible version. Get the print copy if you can, because it just gives you space to write. But by the end, you know how to raise your vibration. You know how to keep it high. And you know everybody who's on your spirit team. And not only that, but it teaches you how they're working with you too.
And just to follow up on that, Julie, do they actually introduce themselves in that way? Do they give you their name and their role? I'm just curious about how
So we go through each angel. And I tell people as they're reading the book, if this angel touches your heart in some way, or you feel their presence as you're reading, make a note of this. And so in the back of the book, you're noting down all of the angels who are with you. And then we also go through who are your loved ones on the other side, teach you how to know and recognize which signs each of them is showing you. That way, it tends to start working like this. When I'm in my everyday life, if I go into the car and I hear a song by Evanescence, I know that it's my grandpa Sam on the other side and he's working with me. If I see the 2 cardinals, it means that my dad and my grandma are with me and they're trying to communicate something. But if I just see 1 cardinal, I know it's my dad. And when I see butterflies, monarchs, it's Wayne. Let's see. My grandmother just comes through with everything. She is one who just brings all of the signs, and I really feel her presence more than see a sign. So when you know, hey, these signals are showing up, it makes things quicker, just like language or reading. So when I see the 2 cardinals, hey, Graham, hey, Dad, what's up? When I hear the song, okay, Grandpa Sam, what do you want me to know? It makes it easier, quicker, smoother, that communication process.
And we love signs so much. It's just a wonderful shorthand for the team, and it gives you a really quick recognition.
Yeah. It's so cool that you've come up with a book and a process for people to really explore that on their own. I'm sure for many people listening, that this can be the beginning of a whole new awakening in their lives.
And when in doubt, when you're just starting, think of it as your entire spirit team, because they're always there with you. But you can break it down even more if you want to.
And you've developed so many offerings. You have a virtual school, an extraordinary number of on-demand courses, a membership. Can you tell our listeners at a high level what they may find when they go to theangelmedium.com?
Yeah. So I've made it really easy. You can think about it in terms of 1 of 3 things. You can book a session with me if you want some one-on-one time. You can really, if you want to develop all of your spiritual gifts. If you want to be a healer, if you want to start a podcast, the first thing that they do when you go to write a book is they say, okay, what credentials do you have to be speaking about X? So when you come through the Angel Reiki School, you get certified and you're learning mediumship, angel messaging, energy healing, all in one spot. I also teach people how to start a six-figure business and grow their clientele, which is something that most other people leave out. So important, because how you sustain that business. It's not about the money, but you have to be able to pay your people on a Friday evening. The other piece is there are folks who don't really want to be a healer or do this work, but they do want to develop themselves personally. So there's a membership where all of my previous courses are in there. There's over 13 different courses, I think 24 different workshops, dozens and dozens of healings. And then we have live events almost every week, small groups. We have a grief group in there if anybody's lost somebody close, and lots of support and live interactions as well on Zoom.
Incredible.
It really is. There's so much here to offer. There's really something for everybody here. So thank you.
Thank you. That warmed my heart.
Oh my goodness. You are such a wealth of knowledge and guidance and love and light. So thank you for everything that you're doing and evolving into. It's really such an honor to be on the journey with you.
Thank you. I feel the same with both of you. I feel like you're both my two long lost soul sisters.
We feel the same. Yeah,
we really do. You can find out more all about Julie's offerings at theangelmedium.com, including signing up for her 31-day angel success formula for free. You can listen to Julie's podcast, Angels and Awakenings, wherever you listen to your podcast. And you can get her first book, which we are going to be getting as well, which is Angels and Awakening, A Guide to Raise Your Vibration and Hear Your Angels. And you can follow Julie on Instagram at Angel Podcast.
Yay. Thank you so much.
Oh, my cheeks hurt from smiling.
Me too.